to the Internet Monthly podcast, a podcast featuring 20 or so short articles of internet-related news and views, tips and tricks, and a regular search engine of the month feature. This podcast is sponsored by Zen Internet. For more information on this month's edition and a list of links for each story, please visit richardfarrer.com. In this month's issue, you can find out how to fight back when content is stolen from your website, what's new for the mobile technophile, deleting history on your Android phone, the new way to search on the web with QWiki's curated information experience, better searching on Twitter, and better advertising for UK businesses from Microsoft's Ad Center. Business UK underway. Nick Ogden, the 2010 National Business Awards Entrepreneur of the Year winner and founder of Worldpay, launched business.co.uk last month, a not-for-profit online portal designed to encourage more British entrepreneurs to set up and start running their own businesses. Business.co.uk is a unique portal providing new business startups with immediate access to discounts, offers, and incentives. Partners include BT Group, School for Startups, NatWest, EasyJet, AXA Insurance, and others that have developed programs to encourage and support business startups in the UK. Emphasis is on providing access to products and services from UK-based business at a regional and local level. Check out business.co.uk. New video captures sun and shade. Researchers at the University of Warwick have developed the world's first complete high dynamic range HDR video system that can see in mixed environments with forest dark corners and sun bright centres at the same time, like the human eye. Anyone who uses a video camera will know that it does not see the world as we do. The human visual system can register scenes that contain both bright highlights and dark shadows and process the information so that it simultaneously exposes for both extremes. Video cameras are restricted to using just one f-stop at a time and have to make compromises. What the Warwick researchers claim to have developed is the world's first full motion HDR video system that covers everything from image capture through to display. HDR imagery offers a more representative description of real-world lighting by storing data with a higher bit depth per pixel than more conventional images, explained Professor Alan Chalmers of Warwick's WMG Digital Laboratory. Although HDR imagery for static images has been around for 15 years, it has not been possible to capture HDR video until now. For more information, see geohdr.com. PC to TV. If you're looking for an affordable way to stream high-definition online films to a big-screen TV, VBeam might be your answer. The device comes in both standard and high-definition varieties and is made up of a wireless USB antenna that's connected to a laptop or computer and a receiver box that's hooked up to an HD TV. The system is said to be capable of wirelessly playing any content from one to the other, whether it's online movies, sports or news updates, digital photos or holiday videos. Starting at £99, there are two varieties on offer. The VBeam SD edition has an output resolution of 480i and Dolby Digital Audio, and the VBeam HD variety, which has the same composite AV outputs as its sibling but also includes full 1080p resolution output via an HDMI port, optical audio output, and a couple of USB ports. Check out VBeam.com. Germany bans Google Analytics. Data protection officials have warned web companies in Germany not to use Google Analytics and threaten to fine any that continue to track visitors to their websites using the facility. Officials are claiming that Google is still failing to meet privacy guidelines after the breakdown of talks that began in November 2009. Read more at thelocal.de/sci-tech. Google Groupon. It seems that Google is preparing to launch its own version of Groupon, the USA local shopping discount service. 24 hours after the announcement last month that Eric Schmidt had been replaced as Google's CEO by Larry Page. Mashable.com published a copy of what looked like a leaked fact sheet for the new service, called Google Offers. Google famously tried to buy Groupon for $6 billion, but the search giant was eventually rebuffed, and Groupon instead raised $950 million in expansion funding independently without losing control of the business. Recent reports suggest that the company has now advanced sufficiently to be preparing for a $15 billion public offering, which may be brought forward with Google getting ready to snap at its heels. For more details, see mashable.com/google-offers. Not beating search engines. Michael Martinez, who writes the SEO Theory and Analysis blog, says he has a wake-up call for everyone still toiling in the website optimization wilderness to unearth the ultimate answer to search engine success, and explains why you can't beat the system by reverse engineering Google or Bing's algorithms. It used to be easy, then it was difficult, but still straightforward, but now it's impossible, he says. When the major search engines all make hundreds of changes each year, and always in complete secrecy. But still, we browse the same stupid questions over and over again, looking for the extra little insight that guys like Matt Cutts, Google PR, might share out of pity for some struggling webmaster's frustration. And we compile these lists of ranking factors, thinking that maybe we'll develop some keen insight into the inner workings of the great web search engines. Read more at seo-theory.com/2011. Stealing from your website. If it's on the internet, it must be free. You may know that's nonsense, but not everyone does. Work you've created can all too easily end up on somebody's spam site, surrounded by ads. Whether it's site designs, original images, or entire online articles, some people don't think it's wrong to use your stuff without credit or payment. Or they don't care. What can you do about it? You can start by asking Google to delist the offender's website and leave it in a virtual dark cupboard that won't get many visitors. Next, you can check the shortlist of other helpful fightback hints at Future Magazine's Creative Studio. For more details, see dellcreativestudio.com/2010. Technophile Traveller. Business on the move has been transformed since the introduction of travel accessories like netbooks, lightweight laptops, and smaller connected devices, including tablets and smartphones. Taking your office on the road with you is getting easier, but there's still a compromise between the gear you need to maintain full productivity and the inconvenience of carrying it around. In the first of a three-part series that will look at the best of what's new for the mobile technophile, here's Gizmag's pick of essential accessories tailored to the needs of the mobile business traveller. Check out gizmag.com. Text away. When you're away from your desk and using a computer that's not your own, making notes and saving text files is not always a good idea. But there are online note-taking apps that you can use while using the internet on somebody else's computer. Try the online note-taking app called Shrib, a simple and free web tool. You can type the note into the text area and then quickly save it. You can also save backup copies in case you want to track changes. Either way, Shrib gives you the URL of your choice for your content so that you can get back to your jottings at any time from anywhere you choose. Check out about.shrib.com. File twittering. If you want to share a file on Twitter, you first need to upload a file to a file hosting service. Then copy the file's URL and shorten it, and finally tweet the shortened URL to share the file with your friends. This multi-step process can be speeded up with the online app TwileShare. It's a free web service allowing 1 gigabyte of storage space that uploads your files and lets you tweet the shortened URLs at the same time. Check out TwileShare.com. Internet for Beginners. 20 Things I Learned is the name of a new publication recently released by the Google Chrome team. It's an online book built using HTML5 with illustrations by Christoph Niemann. It's a newbie's guide to the internet, how it works, how browsers and web apps work, with privacy and security coverage and many other basic concepts explained. Nothing new for veteran internet users, but a nice page-turner to share with non-geeky friends and newbie family members. Read more at 20thingsilearned.com. How you view. If you're not quite sure which version of which default web browser you're using, want to test your browser, or look at some of the alternative viewing platforms on offer, the helpful folk at Google have created a site they'd like you to visit. Check out whatbrowser.org. History Eraser. Deleting web browser history is easy. 2 or 3 clicks and the job is done. But doing the same thing on a mobile phone, even on advanced smartphones like iPhone and Android, isn't straightforward at all. History Eraser is an app that helps users to clean up Android phone history, browsing history, call history, contacts history, and any other unnecessary items with one click. For more information, see appbrain.com. Apple's App Store altercation. With the emergence of the iPhone and other high-end mobile handsets, downloadable applications, generally known as apps, have become commonplace, and companies like Nokia, Microsoft, and Google have created dedicated retail outlets or app stores to sell them. Now, Apple is attempting to trademark the term App Store, but Microsoft has asked the US Patent and Trademark Office to reject the application, saying that the name is generic and all competitors should be able to use it. An App Store is an app store, said Russell Pangborn, Microsoft's Associate General Counsel. Like shoe store or toy store, it is a generic term that is commonly used by companies, governments, and individuals that offer apps. Read more at bbc.co.uk/news/technology. Apple pressed in New York. The New York Times claims that Apple's iPad is not delivering what many publishers were promised. The industry is discovering a lesson already learned by music labels and Hollywood studios. Apple may offer new opportunities with its devices, but it exacts a heavy toll, the Times writes. Magazine publishers argue, in particular, that limiting magazine sales on the iPad to single issues has hamstrung publishers from fully capitalizing on a new and lucrative business model. The majority of magazines now available on the iPad must be purchased one issue at a time. What's more, customers can't have most titles delivered. As the Times notes, that means if consumers want to receive the magazine regularly, they will have to pay far above normal subscription rates. To make matters worse, Apple has declined to share consumer data with publishers, meaning that partners know nothing about the people who are buying their digital magazines. In what sounds like a threat to Apple, the Times adds that publishers are eagerly awaiting the development of new tablet technologies from Google, BlackBerry, and others that could at least give them some leverage. For more information, see nytimes.com. Tablet Tome Tarries. Launch of The Daily, News Corp's iPad-only newspaper, has been delayed. The Murdoch publication was set to be unveiled in the US last month. The postponement is said to have nothing to do with the app itself, but with Apple's new iTunes subscription method. Apple is making changes that will automatically charge users either weekly or monthly and will automatically update the app every morning as new additions are published. But Apple reportedly needs to further tweak the new service before the Daily can be launched. Meanwhile, sample pages found at the Daily's Coming Soon website, later removed, have sported headlines like Oprah's Biggest Gamble and A Bridge Too Far, indicating content will be more Sun-style New York Post than Wall Street Journal. In related news, Apple Insider reports that Apple has told some European newspapers that they must stop offering their print subscribers free access to their iPad editions through the App Store, depriving Apple of its usual 30% cut. Read more at appleinsider.com/articles. Search Twitter streams. For many of its devoted users, Twitter is an indispensable online social network that needs no improvement. But some might admit that its search interface could stand improvement. If you want to find an old tweet or entry, you generally have to go a long way before you find what you're looking for. Twitter search is made much more convenient by Snapbird, a free Twitter client that lets you search the Twitter stream easily and efficiently. Check out snapbird.org. Bing in Britain. Yahoo and Bing joined forces in 2009 to form a search alliance in a bid to usurp Google from its number one spot. Combined, the two companies have almost a third of the North American search market. Google has 67%, and all Yahoo searches in the US are now powered by Bing. In the UK, where Google has a dominant share of the market, still loyal Yahoo users won't notice much difference when the same combined effort comes into full effect here later this year. But with Microsoft's Ad Center powering advertising for both search engines, pay-per-click campaigns will reach both Bing and Yahoo audiences by default with no extra effort from advertisers. Read more at marketingweek.co.uk/302-2419.article. Least searchers most satisfied. Google is still the most popular search engine in most countries and is preferred by almost 70% of users in the US. But it's not always the most accurate, according to Experian Hitwise. During 1 month of recorded visits, 81% of the searches on Bing and Yahoo resulted in a trip to a web address found in the results. Google achieved only a 65% success rate. For more details, see hitwise.com. Google failing claims. It's impossible to do any meaningful product research via Google and almost impossible to find good results for many commonly asked queries, according to blogger Jeff Atwood, who claims that the web's once essential inquiry tool is fighting a losing battle in a sea of spam. The spammers, scrapers, and content farms are winning, he says. It's certainly true that the impact of spam and duplicate content, mostly affiliate marketing and auto-generated splogs, has increasingly eroded the usefulness of Google's search results. The question is, can Google do anything to fix this problem? Read more at marco.org/261-754-6197. Search Engine of the Month. A new search engine, QWiki, where information becomes an experience you can watch, has launched in sign-up testing phase. Built by a tech team headed by Louis Monnier, creator of AltaVista, the first all-web search engine, it won in the Best Startup category at TechCrunch late last year. "It's like your personal HAL," said one of the judges, referring to the talking computer in 2001, a space odyssey. The comparison was made because QWiki takes raw information on popular web search topics and turns it into an interactive presentation, with a human-sounding but computer-generated voiceover narration. Type in a search and you get a mix of photos, videos, and interactive maps, accompanied by the voiceover summary. It's certainly a radical new approach to providing search results. QWiki's curated information experience differs from Google's listing of search results almost as much as watching a TV documentary differs from reading a review about it. Check out QWiki.com. Well, that's all for this month. Thanks for listening, and we hope you listen again next month.